On this episode of Not Normal.
Yeah, that Bigfoot that I saw, man, good Lord, I think that would take the cake. That's the king of the jungle. Screw the lion.
See, this is my problem with government conspiracies. I've been to the DMV.
Unfortunately, if the ghost moves to a bordering state, you're not allowed to hunt there. So
you're out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah, the ghost game warden will come get you. Dude, Bigfoot's jacked.
Hello?
I'm not afraid of ghosts.
I'm so scared.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
Well, I mean, let's face it. You're not exactly normal, are you?
I myself am strange and unusual.
It's not exactly a normal world, is it?
Envision Podcasting, in association with The Venture Project, presents Not Normal.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Not Normal, the only paranormal podcast that matters to our mothers. I'm your host, Randy Strew, and with me as always...
AJ Armstrong.
With me in spirit, I guess. We're recording remote this week. I, from the lovely Envision Podcasting Studios, and Aaron's hanging out over at The Venture Project as usual.
That's where I spend most of my days. You can find me here and check out our spooky haunted basement.
That's right. We really do need to check that basement out at some point.
We definitely have to use some D reverb in that room because I'm pretty sure it's designed for someone to have limbs severed off of them and then bury them in the baseboards.
Because it's the having their screams echo off the stonework is exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we got a 150-year-old building. This place definitely has seen some better days.
Sure, or some worse days, maybe.
If these walls could talk.
That would be a different episode entirely.
Probably be a lot of boring things because this was a title company, which may be the driest type of career you could possibly have. But
that
anyway,
would be that would be some boring as shit wall conversation right there.
Right.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I was dropping my kids off at school today. You want to talk about paranormal? I don't know how some of these other parents get out of bed in the morning and manage to breathe and start their cars. You haven't had to experience the school drop-off lane yet, my friend.
No. But, I just got a 6-month-old that was crawling around on the conference table trying to eat XLR microphones today. So.
Oh, that's perfectly normal.
Yeah. Right.
I was dropping my kids off, and first we got one lady who literally just stops at a stop sign. Like, all she has to do is cross the street. She can actually park in the school drop-off lane. But no, she stops in front of me at the stop sign to let her kid out.
Makes sense.
Then I'm going into the lane, and there's this guy who, despite the fact that the roads are frozen over and there's a perfectly good sidewalk right next to this drop-off lane, lets Precious out and proceeds to give her a hug goodbye in the middle of the damn street.
I notice that happens a lot in airports. Where you'll just, you know how they have the 4 lanes of unloading at the airport for your luggage, and someone always decides to go into the 5th lane that is designed to be the pass-through and stops and just decides to take out all of their stuff and say their wishes goodbye.
Yeah.
And you're just like, people, this is not what the 5th lane is for. You have 4 lanes to do this.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at this guy going, that's sweet, jackass, but you're going to get yourselves killed.
Yeah, you know, something about Wisconsin has not prepared my life for driving. So I lived out east for a while, so I learned how real people drive out there. Then I came back, and it was just 2 or 3 days ago, I put my blinker on well in advance to switch lanes on the highway. And the person, you know, it was just probably a one-car gap that I could sneak into. Definitely not cutting them off, but there was room for one car. And I slid in, and the guy decided to go around me and speed up to me and hold his middle finger out the window for a solid 3 to 4 seconds to make sure I saw it and then sped off. That's how upset he was that I just basically switched lanes. And that's Wisconsin for you. Unheard of to do that. There was still a 2-second following distance when you did this, but it's dangerous anyway.
Well, today's episode of Not Normal, yeah, takes us to the magical and far-off land of paranormal Idaho.
Idaho.
I know what you're thinking. And as it turns out, Idaho is more than just farm country. In fact, in June of last year, the Tater State was named the top state for UFO sightings.
Really?
Yeah.
I always thought New Mexico held that title.
Right? No, it turns out Idaho.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
this is going to be something.
But we're actually not going to talk about space aliens today.
Future episode.
For the past year and a half or so, Idaho has also played host to another paranormal visitor, Bigfoot.
Oh, man. This is the episode we've been waiting for.
This is the one. This week's episode, Not Normal, investigates the Idaho Sasquatch.
Wow.
Yes.
So just to clarify, Sasquatch and Bigfoot are indeed the same.
I mean, they basically...
I just want to make sure because I thought that there was some nuanced differences to some paranormal investigators. Or cryptozoologists.
I sort of think of it like bears, right? Like
brown bear versus grizzly bear or something.
Right, right. The Yeti, probably the same damn creature, but it's in the Himalayas, so it's white and mountainy, you know.
I just watched that fascinating documentary on the guy that scaled the 14 mountains in the Himalayas. And he was actually, this will be a different topic maybe if we dig into Yeti, but he was talking about how in altitude sickness you hallucinate sometimes. And he saw a snow Yeti when he was scaling these different mountains during it. And it turned out to be another lost mountaineer that he had found. But that might be an interesting one to dig into when we get onto the Yeti topics because of that.
Well, I'm sure that if you're lost in the Himalayas, you've got the snow coming. I mean, I go out and shovel my walk. I come back inside looking like a Yeti, so I can't even imagine. I got ice frozen to my beard. Yeah, so it turns out Idaho is one of the top states for Bigfoot sightings, ranking number 4 after Washington State, Oregon, and West Virginia. According to the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, which is apparently a thing, for every 100,000 residents of Idaho, 5 claim to have seen or heard the cryptid at least once.
How do you get funding to be a Bigfoot organization? That's what I want to know.
Right? Other enthusiasts. I'm sure they get donations from enthusiasts.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they've got government grants coming in.
Or do they?
Or do they?
Hmm. Yeah, just another thing our government spends money on.
That's a valid point. What, our government would never spend money on something frivolous?
Could you imagine a politician running on that campaign? This administration is going to be the administration that finds Bigfoot, damn it.
That's right. $100 million to the BFRO today.
Right. That's right. We are going to raise our state taxes to fund the BRFO. Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, among the most recent sightings is an anonymous video, which we've talked about and I believe I've shown you, originally posted to NVTV YouTube channel showing a massive muscular creature walking in the woods. Now, I'm going to show you again, but this is a compelling piece of evidence. A little problematic, though. For one thing, the clip is short. It's very short. And due to its anonymous nature, there's really no way, apparently, of getting hold of the original footage. So there's no context. The sighting was never actually reported to the BFRO, who normally collects these reports. And again, it's like 5 seconds long. So, and there's no reason it should be 5 seconds long, because if you look at the footage, they clearly clipped like what they consider to be like the best part of the footage and just sent that over and didn't send any actual context. So I'm going to show this to you here.
I'm excited to see this.
I've been
waiting my whole life to be compelled that Bigfoot's out there.
All right, are you ready for this? Let's
do it.
This is the recently seen Sasquatch of Idaho.
Dude, Bigfoot's jacked,
right? I mean, this is a WWE. This is the freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This thing looks like a silverback gorilla. That is unbelievably massive.
Yeah, but it's walking upright. Like, it's not walking like a gorilla.
No, it's walking like totally like a human.
Yeah. So it's an interesting piece of evidence. But again, there's no context to it. And as you can see, it's 5 seconds of the creature taking one or two steps, and then it just cuts out or repeats for a minute. So what do you think? Is it?
I'm not going to lie. That looked really real.
It
did not look like a costume. I'll put that. He was really jacked, but you're right. Why is the video? I mean, I don't know. It just I think my doubt my doubts are not with the video. That video looked legit. I'm not gonna lie. But my doubts are more with the entire Bigfoot theory, and I think we'll dig into that in a second. But that video was something, man. He looks freaking yoked.
He did. If you haven't seen this video, Bigfoot's jacked.
I mean, I'd be worried, you know, living right. in Idaho right now. This guy could easily, like, rip a door off of your car. And, you know, that's another thing. Is he an omnivore? Is he a vegetarian? You know, we don't. Because this guy looks like he would eat humans, no problem. Just mow down limbs of individuals. That was
pick his teeth with your finger bones.
Yeah, this move from like satire and kind of like family fun stories in the wilderness to just pure horror watching that video. That looks Bigfoot looks like a threatening monster based off of that video.
I'd be afraid to shoot it.
Oh, I wouldn't shoot that thing with anything. No. Like a 30-06 would just piss that thing off.
Like an elephant gun, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That thing. Oh my good lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
This move from cryptozoology into horror genre really fast. Seeing right. that video.
Well, before we go any further, let's provide a little bit of context for Bigfoot. The very first report of a giant man-like creature stalking the woods in the U.S. of A. came out in 1958. Journalist Andrew Gonzoli of the Humboldt Times received a letter from loggers in California in which they claimed to have found a massive footprint. The story captured readers' imaginations, and they followed up with more stories about the mysterious print, the loggers dubbing the creature Bigfoot. Now, obviously, there are stories of so-called wild men all over the world. We've mentioned the Yeti. The natives of Western Canada have their stories of Sasquatch, from which we assume the word Sasquatch is derived. But in the U.S., the modern legend seems to start with this letter from 1958. This set off a string of sightings, the most famous one, of course, being the Patterson-Gimlin film of 1967. That's the one everybody sees where, you know, it was obviously filmed on a potato, but they assumed that the Sasquatch in question is female. There have been some claims that it's a hoax, but most people, again, aren't really sure that it is. Because, again, A, in 1967, what's the payoff?
Right.
B, in 1967, how do you craft a suit that convincing?
Now, I do think that that we underestimate the power of prosthetics even that far back. In fact, there was someone I was watching a podcast, and someone who was working in the CIA had talked about how advanced their prosthetics were to mimic other people. And this has been going on since definitely the early 1970s. I think the prosthetic argument should be gone. I think if someone got serious about prosthetics, we've had that technology for a long time.
Sure. But we're talking about government organizations throwing a lot of money at that.
Oh yeah, and
not some random asshole in the woods of California donning a suit.
True. Yeah, unless they had a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just took a Chewbacca costume and had at it, but that wouldn't have been until the 80s. So.
So, you know, that's kind of the question. Yeah, cuz this came out in 1967, which Star Wars the real first Star Wars, Episode 4, came out in 1978 or 77.
Yeah.
So, this, you know, 10 years. Apart from that, so yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, could it be a guy in a suit? It's possible, but again, what's the payoff?
Well, the payoff would be that you get massive amounts of funding for the Bigfoot organization, and it keeps you employed, and your nonprofit you can decide to embezzle money from periodically to cover random excursions into the wilderness.
So
there is a motive here.
So what you're saying is the Patterson-Gimlin film of 1967 was a long con by the BFRO. Oh, yeah.
He was playing the long game. He's playing chess, not checkers, my friend.
By the way, the 1950... So the Patterson-Gimlin film was shot on the same trail that first print was discovered in 1958. But that first print in 1958 was actually discovered in 2002 to be a hoax perpetrated by a logger named Ray Wallace. Hmm. So the 1958 thing that basically gave Bigfoot his name was a hoax. But
that's breaking my heart.
Right? But native peoples all over the world have a similar wild man creature in their myth cycle. And, of course, we have all of these sightings, including the Patterson-Gimlin film and including this recent 2021 film that I just showed you coming out of Idaho. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that... And two, and I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, Bigfoot's absolutely real. I absolutely 100% believe in Bigfoot or whatever. But just because something has been faked in the past doesn't mean that it's fake.
True. Think about the moon landing. I'm just kidding. No.
For example, the Earth is clearly flat.
Right. You know, like the moon landing in 1969 was clearly fake, but obviously we've been to the moon since then. I mean, this is just obvious. No, I think what's really weird to me about the whole Bigfoot lore is we obviously don't have a lot of understanding of like oceanic life. You know, there's so much vast space, but we've got a lot of understanding of North American wildlife. Why is this not and think about like just not only understanding of it, but we have animal kingdoms, placements in the animal kingdom, lots of tests, lots of examples, lots of frequency, even to the level of endangered species down to fractions of like, how do we know all those things, but we can't freaking nail down Bigfoot, man?
Yeah. And this is where I bring up as well, you know, the FBI has actually investigated Bigfoot in a sense.
Really?
In 1976, director Peter Byrne of the Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition in the Dales, Oregon, sent the FBI about 15 hairs attached to a tiny piece of skin for them to analyze it. He also wanted to know if the FBI had analyzed suspected Bigfoot hair before and what their conclusion was. Now, he was one of the more prominent Bigfoot researchers at the time. Apparently, there are such things as prominent Bigfoot researchers, which I didn't know that either.
Well, someday we're going to be in that camp.
Yeah.
We're going to be considered prominent Bigfoot researchers. When this podcast goes viral, bro, that's going to be something.
That's right. So the FBI kind of did a favor for a buddy, Jay Cochran Jr., assistant director of the FBI Scientific and Technical Services Division, did the analysis and they couldn't find any evidence of the FBI analyzing suspected Bigfoot hair in the past, but they did do this one. They did check it out. And basically what it came down to was that the hairs you discovered delivered to the FBI laboratory on behalf of the Bigfoot Information Center have been examined by transmitted and incident light microscopy. The examination included a study of morphological characteristics such as root structure, modulary structure, blah, blah, blah. Scientific jargon to say that we did our job.
Yeah. Or did they, damn it?
The hairs were compared directly with the hairs of known origin under a comparison microscope. It was concluded as a result of these examinations that the hairs are of the deer family origin.
Yeah.
So
that's a flop.
So the only Bigfoot
whatever
hairs
was in
have
that
actually
video,
been
whatever scientifically was in that video that you showed me was absolutely not of the deer family.
No.
Except I do the kangaroo is of the deer family, and I've seen some jacked ass kangaroos.
There are some jacked kangaroos. They also don't walk upright like a person.
And they're not as jacked as this Bigfoot video.
And they're not as jacked as this Bigfoot.
That even remotely close. If they would have said this came from the silverback gorilla family, we would be closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No chance.
Yeah, this thing is massive. And you're absolutely right. I mean, if this thing is just out there stalking the woods of Idaho, hide your wife, hide your kids, man. This is
Yeah, this is something that is beyond this is a threat to human life as we know it. If this thing is out there, if we don't know that there's a massive predator on the loose that we're familiar with in the Idaho wilderness.
Yeah.
Unless
I guess is the one good thing. What's that?
I was like, could this be some kind of cross between a bear and an ape or something? Or like, you know, some kind of hybrid theory that the government was experimenting with genetic modifications of animals that got loose. And now because of mainstream propaganda and psyops, we're just being convinced that it's some kind of legend. Is that a possibility, Randy?
I suppose. I guess.
I think that's the leading cause here. It's got to be.
It's not a solid theory. But you did just say they faked the moon landing, so.
That's true. If we're going to be in that camp in the flat Earth world, you might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well take that one.
Yeah.
We're open to anything here on this podcast.
They went back. They fed first Americans the idea of a wild man creature, called it the Sasquatch, and convinced them all that they've been carrying around this myth for hundreds of years.
That'd be an interesting movie idea. Like, you know, some scientist doing some genetic mutations of animals in a laboratory, and it turns out that one of them goes horrendously wrong and escapes, and they don't know how they're going to communicate this to the public, so they decide to launch a massive propaganda campaign where they stage the first video of this thing called Bigfoot, knowing that the public is going to be cynical of it. And then all of a sudden, years later, it's been real the whole time.
So what you're suggesting is that the Patterson-Gimlin film is actually evidence of a 1960s era government experiment gone wrong.
Yes.
And that they've just been feeding us with disinformation ever since.
Or they've fed us with disinformation originally with the reverse psychology strategy of, we're going to put a video out publicly but it's faked to mimic a real incident so that people know, this is a fake video. Look, this is so preposterous. How can anyone believe that? So that they dismiss it for the next 50 years, half a century, even when the thing shows up.
Doesn't it seem like if you were going to hoax a hoax, that you would make it more obvious?
Well, that's what they did. The video was said to be fake.
Like, again, well, it's still up in the air, though. I mean, the Patterson-Gimlin film, there's no evidence that it's not true. There's really no evidence of a hoax in the Patterson-Gimlin case.
There's the 1958 one.
Now, the 1958 one, that's just that's a footprint.
Yeah, okay. And, so maybe that's where it started. Who knows?
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, if you were gonna hoax a hoax, I mean, I would want to see the zipper in the back of the Sasquatch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But that could be too obvious. I mean, we're working with the United States government here, master manipulators of minds for centuries.
That's right. They've convinced us all, for example, that the Earth is round.
Exactly. And that we went to the moon.
Yeah. See, this is my problem with government conspiracies. I've been to the DMV. I've seen the government at work. I've seen where my tax dollars go. Hell, you were in the Army. My kid brother was in the Army.
Yeah. See, I used to think that.
The government is so wildly and demonstrably incompetent that I just don't see them pulling off a hoax of this scale.
Yeah, you see, I used to think that, but you got to understand that the government is a pyramid, and at the bottom of the pyramid is a remarkable level of incompetence, which convinces the lay thinker like you and me that, the government is really pretty incompetent because of the standard employees that we see, you know, lower enlisted in the military, you know, that kind of thing, with people at the DMV, all that. But the reality is as you climb the ladder and get to levels of high levels of competence, like I knew people in the special forces and in like Delta and things like that, that they removed so much bureaucracy that they were actually extraordinarily competent and great because they could do things like outsource marketing campaigns for locals in, you know, Afghanistan so that they could push a narrative. And they had like all the bureaucracy was gone for them. They just got blank checks. And I think that still goes on. And that's something like this.
That's important. I mean, yeah, if you remove bureaucracy, because bureaucracy is where things get stupid. And I'm not talking, you know, and when I talk about incompetence, I'm not talking about the boots on the ground guys. You know,
yeah.
I'm typically, here's a good example, okay? My kid brother was in the Army, had a bad ankle. In fact, he couldn't join the Rangers because he had tendonitis lifelong. And it would eventually actually came to a head while he was still in the Army. So he couldn't join the Rangers because he couldn't jump out of a plane because it would, you know, have destroyed his ankle. He drove a tank. He actually he worked in the Mojave Desert teaching people how to fight in tanks. He was the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So like when American tank forces would go get trained, they'd go out to the Mojave Desert and they would have mock battles against my brother's unit.
Yeah, yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about over at NTC.
Yeah.
And so I did the same thing at Fort Polk for a while. I called it the Army Scout Team.
Okay, yeah. So my kid brother, literally an elite tank driver, right, leaves there, goes to Germany where they make him, who again has an ankle issue, infantry. Mm-hmm. That is wild bureaucratic incompetence.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. The Army's full of that. I know for a fact I was there. And I think that the reason that there's bureaucracy so heavy in the government is for kind of like lower level employees and to create systems and standards so that massive amounts of people can achieve a baseline level of competence. But there is, like anywhere, but the government is sneaky in the fact that once you've surpassed that level of competence into these small factions of extraordinarily powerful and talented groups, that's what scares me, is that there are, like, where they don't have bureaucracy, they're off the books. I mean, this stuff is skunk works operations and things like that, that it's just really, really deep stuff that I think makes them capable of absolutely doing mind manipulation strategies and other things, and using budgets and funds to hire, you know, private companies and contractors to do a lot of this stuff.
Well, sure. We've seen how the CIA works as far as manipulating agents on the ground in other countries and destabilizing regions and all of that.
I saw this meme that the other day. It was the scene from Pirates of the Caribbean when, you know, he's like, "You best start believing in ghost stories, because you're in one," or whatever. And it was that meme, but it was like, "You best start believing in psyops, because you're in one."
I could see that. So, is Bigfoot a psyop then? What do you think?
No. I think that was just a playful expression of one possibility, because sure, we don't have any good ideas, I don't think.
No, but I do think that one way or the other, we should be getting answers relatively soon, because you see civilization pushing further and further into the wilderness. You know, we're getting less wilderness every year, right?
Yeah.
To the point where you have black bears and brown bears as regular visitants in rural suburban areas. Where normally, you know, they would appreciate, they would prefer the bears to stay away from people. But we've encroached so far into the wilderness that they're just kind of becoming a regular part of the day-to-day. Deer, my gosh, we've already pretty much assimilated deer into the regular population of people.
Well, see, that's why I almost, okay, let me rescind my statement of this is a government operation. That is why I think the government operation is a potential idea, because the fact that we are studying so much in nature and we're moving into it, and there's still nothing coming out on if there is a Bigfoot, you know, it makes me wonder that if he's out there, it is being well hidden by the government, that the information is being suppressed, or that something like that, like the UFO thing, right, is not. And then all of a sudden, someday the government's like, okay, now it's all fine that there's UFOs all of a sudden. And it's going to be the same thing, I think, with Bigfoot. It's going to be like, oh, wow, yeah, he's been out here the whole time. And everyone's going to be like, well, I was just not national news or whatever. It's like, well, it's because it's old news, dude.
And that's right.
I think that's a potential idea too, because like you're saying, we're moving into the woods, we're moving into the wilderness. We have so much of the North American biology identified in the zoology of everything. Why is it all of a sudden now? Like, why can we not find this thing out? We know so much about weird endangered species in the sea. How have zoologists not uncovered anything?
Right. And like I said, I think that with our encroachment, and maybe they are endangered, although I can't imagine, A, that this thing has any natural predators.
Not based on that video. There's nothing that I can think of on this planet that would kill that thing. It looked like a 7-foot version of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Shaq combined into one that mated with a silverback gorilla and a grizzly bear all into one giant cocktail.
Yeah.
And was grown to become a monstrous beast.
Yeah, certainly the North Woods of California, or Idaho in this case, don't carry anything in those woods. I'll put it this way. If there is something in these woods that is a natural predator to what we saw on that video, I don't want to ever discover it.
Maybe the rake. Maybe the rake could take it out. Maybe that'd be a really fun little ultimate showdown. You know, we have a little tournament of all of the different, you know, kind of cryptozoology paranormal beings, and they all just have some kind of tournament where they have to fight each other for the victor of the toughest animal.
Super Smash Brothers Cryptid Edition.
Dude, that's a video game idea for you gamers out there. You want to program that bad boy. How sick would that be, dude? It's like, oh, yeah, I decided to go with Yeti today. He does a lot better in the frigid conditions, you know. But if you're that's going right. in, if you're going to go a long time without water, you better pick the chupacabra. Like, that'd really be something.
I just picked Bigfoot for sheer brute strength. I mean, Rake doesn't stay.
Yeah, that Bigfoot that I saw, man, good Lord, I think that'd take the cake. That's the king of the jungle. Screw the lion.
That's right. Well, this is what I'm saying. I mean, it's not, you know, bears are not going after this thing. So you'd think that with so few natural predators, and obviously we're not hunting them, because if we were out there killing Sasquatch, we'd have some.
You'd have an example of it.
So, you know, there's nothing out there killing these things. So where the hell are they?
Right. And that's the big problem too. Or like you think a dead one would turn up once in a while or something.
Right. I mean, you could argue, I guess, that maybe they bury their dead, but
yeah, that'd be even creepier, cuz now they're intelligent enough to bury their dead.
Well, and there is some speculation that if they're out there, they are intelligent enough to do that. I mean, they're intelligent enough if they're out there to stay away from us for the most part, to not get captured on camera. But again, that's why I think eventually we're gonna come up to a definitive answer here.
But even people are not good enough to stay off of those. You know what I mean? So it seems unbelievably unlikely. And just with the advancements of infrared optics and things like that, where you can scan massive amounts of wildlife, and you would think that you could find this really quickly. I mean, you and me could go online right now and go to FLIR's website and buy a hunting optic that you could look and see infrared from a drone and fly it all over in Idaho and cover massive amounts of square mileage. Why has nothing come up, right? You know?
Yeah, well, and that's just it. I mean, you know, we mentioned that Idaho is the fourth state for reports of seeing Bigfoot as far as per capita people, right? But in Washington State, for example, 9 sightings per 100,000 people, right? You'd think if these things were out there with all the stuff that you mentioned, with all this stuff that we have, we'd be getting more than 9 sightings per 100,000 people.
Yeah, right. You'd have, I mean, I wonder what like another random endangered animal is from like a similar region, you know what I mean? Like, how many of you have seen polar bears? I don't know. If you're, it might be that even less frequent than that, which, you know.
And yet if you're in the polar bear's territory, yeah, you see the damn things.
Right, right. And like a National Geographic photographer knows exactly what to do and where to go to find any animal they want to find, except Bigfoot,
yeah.
You know, why? Why is that the case?
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's, I wanted to do a cryptid episode, especially a cryptozoology episode, especially because, you know, yeah, there need to be people asking these questions. And I think I've said this before, but I think if you're going to study cryptozoology, you have to have an understanding of zoology.
And I don't understand, where is there ever a transition from cryptozoology to zoology?
There should be.
I imagine, well, if cryptozoology was legit, there would be. But what I imagine is more likely is zoology just discovers zoology. You know what I mean? That oftentimes we don't have a metaphysical animal that ends up becoming real. I don't know. I mean, are there examples out there?
I mean, there are examples of the one I'm thinking of right now is a deer. It was a specific kind of deer that would have been considered a cryptid. Sort of this legendary deer that nobody had ever seen. And then one day we discovered it. Hmm. And just, oh, crap. Well, okay, yeah, this deer exists, I guess. I'll be damned.
Like a jackrabbit or something. Like,
you know, yeah. And, you know, so those types of things do exist. But, yeah, you know, if you're going to be on the hunt for different things, I mean, you know, I've seen too many videos of people looking at animal tracks and going, well, I've never seen a track like that in my life. You know, yeah. It's like, well, okay, but if you studied zoology or, hell, forestry, you probably would have. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like that's a good point. I don't study that shit, and I'm looking at something going, oh, that's a dog print, you know? Right.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. Is it's why, like, I think it's doing a disservice to zoology to think you need cryptozoology. That's kind of where I come from.
I don't have a problem with cryptozoology, just as an idea of saying, okay, you know what? Because people aren't looking for hidden creatures, we're going to look for hidden creatures. But I do believe that if you're going to get into that field, you should understand how animals work, how animals behave.
I think there's degreed programs at universities for cryptozoology.
Which
I imagine would have some course level work with zoology.
I hope so. I would hope so. I, you know,
could you imagine if it doesn't? All right. So you might think this is a dog print, but here's what it really is.
Well, like a buddy of mine who is an engineer, he's also a writer. So just on a lark one day, he decided, you know what? I'm going to take some courses and become a certified cryptozoologist. So he took a bunch of courses online and basically became a certified cryptozoologist. He doesn't know anything more about animals now than he did before he started the course, you know?
Yeah. I would be interested in knowing what that course is. That would be hilarious. What a great idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine just tacking that onto your resume when you're going in for a job interview?
I keep looking for it.
Hey, by the way.
I have a certification from a paranormal investigating course that I took.
You gotta throw that on the resume, man. Can you imagine?
I do. I'm a certified
cryptozoologist. I'm also a certified paranormal investigator. We do data entry here, sir.
there's no such thing as actually being a certified paranormal investigator. My certification basically says that I took the class.
It counts. Damn it.
It's not like a government sponsored class or anything.
If it was, I wouldn't trust it.
They're not out there licensing ghost hunters. Sadly.
You are officially a licensed ghost hunter that is recognized by the state. So now
you're licensed in the state of Utah to hunt ghosts.
That's right. Yeah. Unfortunately, if the ghost moves to a bordering state, you're not allowed to hunt there. So
you're out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah. The ghost game warden will come get you. And that got me. Yeah.
Do you get like tags?
Yeah, you get tags. It's like Ghostbusters. We have a lot of ghosts out here, but in this area, they're a little bit underpopulated. We'd like you to kind of avoid these counties. Oh, man. Yeah,
we have a bounty on poltergeist activity.
That's right. Yeah, you're gonna be. This is a they're a little overpopulated over in these parts. We're gonna need to make sure that you guys get a couple extra tags this year. Just make sure that you're only killing the bucks, not the females.
That's right. Only taking down the male ghosts so that they can repopulate as necessary.
That's an interesting idea. I wonder if we ever talk about that on the show, if there's a possibility of ghosts repopulating, or if that just ends if the soul is independent, or if there is a reproduction aspect to ghosts.
Well, I mean, as long as there are people, and assuming ghosts are a thing, you know, then theoretically, as long as there are people, there can be ghosts, and as long as people can repopulate.
Yeah, but can you repopulate in the paranormal realm?
Like, can ghosts reproduce as ghosts?
Yes.
I hope not.
We know they can move interdimensionally. So you could possibly, in theory, be in multiple places at once. And that is kind of like reproduction in a way. So, you know, this comes back to our problem before. We don't know what ghosts
are. Do they split like single-cell organisms?
Yeah, right. Do they split or in quantum physics where you can be in multiple locations at one time? Is that considered reproducing? I mean, it just without knowing what ghosts are, we just really are in no position at all to do anything. It's just like we don't know anything about physical matter, space, time. It just completely just mind screws us into positions where we can't even comprehend it on a simple podcast.
Well, and this gets us back to our buddy Sasquatch, okay? Maybe the issue is that the physiology of a Sasquatch is such that only a select few are able to breed. Maybe that's why we don't see them.
Yeah.
Because somehow there's something in their DNA that actually keeps them from being able to build the population.
Yeah, and maybe they live a long time, you know, and they don't so like maybe they live a century and a half, and they reproduce only one time or something based on that. And that's why there's just such a small population.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come up with like a legitimate scenario, not necessarily evidence, but a scenario to justify the existence of them. And I just can't see why we've taken this long with organizations being completely funded, unless it's one of those things where like the organizations need to not find it in order to stay funded.
You know? Right.
Like maybe they found it a long time ago. They're like, oh, damn, well, the funding's going to run out then if everybody figures out how we did this. So that's just going to pretend that we haven't found it yet.
Well, we found Sasquatch.
Like America's not ready for this yet. Keep them in the basement and put it in where the rest of the Sasquatches are in the underground zoo.
Yeah, you do have a good point. Like that's kind of an awkward kind of conversation. We found it.
All right. Well, we can wrap up this fundraiser now.
What's next? A beer or
what do we do next here? and then that's it. And they lose funding. Everyone's out of job and. Then they study it and they figure out, wow, this is, you know, just a type of ape that we just have in North America, I guess, and it's really not that eventful.
I guess we'll start looking for the Jersey Devil like now. I don't know.
Yeah, go back to Chupacabra. And then, you know, but maybe they're doing this. Maybe they've discovered this and they're just releasing information as needed. And that's why I think the government's in on this somehow. You know, maybe they know a lot about it. They know it's not like a serious threat. It's not as sexy as we think it is. It's really just some bizarre bear ape thing that's out there.
And that's just it. I mean, if it exists, right? It's probably just I mean, it's a creature. Okay, great. And it's rare enough that you want to, you know, give it a level of protection. And what protects something from people better than convincing people that it's not there at all?
Right. And I think if it was dangerous, the government would be belly up to release policy to make sure that we stay away from them. Like, because the government leans heavily towards, let's just try to come up with as much potential power around using this dangerous thing as we can. So it makes me, if the government knows about this, it's definitely not dangerous.
Right.
It's probably a very docile vegetarian that eats berries in the wilderness and its shit looks like bear poop.
Maybe fish, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that as if this thing
I can't imagine they get that jacked with no protein, so.
Yeah, right? I mean, that thing is unbelievable. I can't see that thing that you showed me not being dangerous. I mean, could you just imagine like, "Oh no, they're very friendly actually, you know, they like to cuddle and hang out." I mean, that just was like, this thing was insanely jacked. I don't think a person jacked would be dangerous.
It'll tear your arms off, but it's very friendly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. I mean, you know, as always, we can't really come to a conclusion, but I think the question, I guess, is, if these things are real, given what we know about how creatures behave, given what we know about man's encroachment on wildlife, given what we know about just rates of reproduction, if these things exist, where the hell are they?
Exactly, yeah. And something that would be interesting, too, to look into more is just the history of the legend outside of our kind of North American examples.
Right.
But getting into Himalayan Yeti, getting into all these different cultures around the world that have some kind of large ape, bear, creature.
Oh, we will 1,000% be talking about the Yeti.
I'm pumped about the Yeti, dude. Just because I watched that Everest or that Himalayan documentary, now I'm all about it. I would love to go to the Himalayas with some Sherpas and stuff and try to like figure out, climb up into the mountains and see if we can find them and just die of asphyxiation from altitude.
Sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, hell of a YouTube video.
All right.
Whatever it takes.
Well, there you go, from the land of the taters to Northern California and even Canada. That's our sort of overview of Bigfoot and this most recent Idahoan Bigfoot. Aaron, thanks again for, as always, joining me on this journey. And I don't know what we'll talk about next time, but we'll find out then.
That's right, brother. Take it easy, folks.
Not Normal was recorded at The Venture Project by AJ Armstrong and edited by Randy Strew for Envision Podcasting. Audio clips downloaded courtesy moviesounds.org, and music was from infinitunes.co. Not Normal is copyright to Randy Strew and AJ Armstrong.